is John Bryson, Blue Network war correspondent at the Coke Stand Mic in London. Sharing the mic tonight answers to the name of Lieutenant Gene Goodrick. Right, Lieutenant?
That's right.
You look mighty young to pilot a Fortress. How old are you, Gene?
23.
And I bet your dad is afraid to let you drive the car when you were home.
He never said he was afraid, but I don't think he was ever really relaxed when I was at the wheel.
Where's your home, Gene?
Edderville, Missouri. I used to work in St. Louis before the war.
Where'd you train to be a pilot?
I trained at Thunderbird Field, Arizona.
Well, isn't that where the Chinese pilots train?
Yes, but there are really two Thunderbird Fields. Ours was right across from theirs.
And did they make good pilots?
They were fine, and they were the most polite people I've ever known.
How long have you been in the European Theater of Operations?
Since July 1944.
You fly a Fortress, don't you?
Yes, I do, and that's one sweet airplane.
I've heard it's a great ship. Can you think of some mission you had that proved it?
To tell you the truth, all the missions proved it. But not long ago, I flew one for 700 miles on two engines. She kept up with the formation all the way home. I can tell you we loved that airplane when we climbed out.
I don't suppose your expert flying counted for much.
Anybody can fly a Fort.
Gene, I see you mean it, but I'd like to know more about what actually happens when a Fort comes home all shot up.
I'll do the best I can.
All right, now I want you to give me the details of one of your more thrilling missions.
I think the closest I got to being a prisoner was this December the 2nd. It was one of the last missions on this tour, and we were briefed for a run over central Germany. I had five of my original crew on board and four new men.
How was the weather?
Oh, it was clear, and that's not so good over a heavily fortified area.
What do you mean?
On a clear day, the plane leaves a contrail or vapor trail that's visible to the enemy. We had to make two bomb runs that day, and consequently, we're in the flak area for 25 minutes, which was about 2 minutes too long. We got a direct hit underneath the pilot seat. Cut off my oxygen, wrecked the electrical system and hydraulic system, and started a fire.
Did you get the fire out?
Well, my engineer crawled out of his position and tried to stop it. I put the plane on automatic pilot and turned around. I thought the escape hatch was open, the navigator and bombardier had bailed out. Since we were still over the target, I salvoed the bombs and got down and tried to put the fire out myself.
Well, how about your oxygen?
That was a catch. I was very groggy. Luckily, the draft through the escape hatch finally put the fire out. Then I got back and called for the ball turret gunner to help me. He came forward and put the co-pilot's mask on me. He left it when he bailed out. I cleared up pretty soon.
Well, how was the ship
bailed out? She was still flying, but I lost the formation, and we were now down to about 16,000 feet. The navigator had left a rough map to navigate with, so I plotted our course home.
You know, you sound kind of busy.
I was. We got the plane into a cloud for protection and flew that way for 25 minutes. When we came out of it, I saw a formation above us. I chased it, and it turned out to be my own squadron. I took up the element lead again, and we came into the field, which was now dark.
Well, wait a minute. How about your wheels and your brakes and your lights?
They were all damaged, but we wound the wheels down by hand. I came in close to another fort to see where I was flying. I stopped by running into a plowed-up field.
And well done, Gene. I think you're right about that being a great plane, and I think the boys in it aren't so bad either. Tonight, we've talked with Lieutenant Gene Goodrick of the United States 8th Air Force, and this is Blue Network war correspondent John Bryson in London, returning you now to the victory parade of spotlight bands in the United States.